That's the iZod symbol. You know, not iPod, iZod, okay? iZod. And that was another, I guess, back in the 80s, that was another thing. Oh, yeah, we got to have iZods, we got to have polos, things like that. Now, L, I know you're going to get this next one. If you don't get this next one, I'm really worried. All right, go to the next one. Hit that next slide there. What is it? Are you sure about that? What is that symbol there? What is that? It's a U and an A. You see it? you never do that, did you? It's a U and then the A, Under Armour. Now you don't have to go to school this year. You've learned something. Yeah, you got it all down now, right? All right. I want to read to you. Go ahead and go to the next slide. I want to read to you here in Colossians chapter 3. And the reason I played that little game there was, as we'll see in this passage of Scripture, I'm gonna be preaching on this for a couple of weeks, but basically the idea is clothing yourself, okay? And you'll understand it as we read this passage, what we are to clothe ourselves with as Christians. And I'm not talking about physical clothing, something deeper, okay? And you'll understand it here as we read here just a little bit this morning. But I want to go ahead and read this entire passage here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, put to death. Well, what does that mean, to put something to death? What does that mean? Put to death. Does that mean to execute? Is that what Paul is talking about here? We're to execute something? To put to death here, when the Apostle Paul uses that phrase, put to death, he's meaning to get rid of it. Get rid of it. What happens when someone dies? And I mean no disrespect, not trying to be irreverent here, but when someone dies, what do we do with the physical body? We bury it. We you know, some people choose cremation, but the idea is we bury it. We put it away. And again, I'm not trying to be irreverent or irrespectful here or disrespectful, but we get rid of it. And that's what Paul here is talking about. Put to death. Put it away. Get rid of it. Bury it. Okay? Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he lists some things here of things that we are to get rid of, put away, bury, put to death. Okay? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. And then he explains greed, which is idolatry. You know what greed is. Greed is when you desire something so much that it takes possession of you. You want it so bad, and you don't want anybody else to have it. You want it to yourself. That's what greed is. And it's interesting that Paul here in this passage equates that with idolatry. Idolatry is when you revere something so much, you put it up on a pedestal. It takes over your life. You desire it. You want to, you got to have it. Okay? And you don't want anybody else to have it. That's idolatry. Put away those things. Put to death those things. Verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves. There's that phrase again of ridding yourself of something, putting it away. Rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, And here's where we get the idea of what he's talking about of putting to death something in the imagery that I want us to look at this morning. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self. There's the imagery of the clothing. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self, like a piece of clothing, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. All those things that he had listed there, the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, malice, slander, filthy language. You've taken off all these things like pieces of clothing with its practices. And you have, verse 10, you have put on the new self. So the imagery Paul here is creating is that of the Christian, someone who professes Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have taken off the old self with all its practices, and now they have clothed themselves with something else. Something better. Something better. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. In other words, I think Paul was getting at here, it don't matter who you are, where you come from, what your ancestry is, what your ethnicity is, what your race is. And is that a hot topic today? Race, racism? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, you hear every so often, and I still hear it, you know, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, you know, all this. Y'all, if God could just tell us once and for all, God would say all lives matter to him. Amen? It don't matter who you are, what color you are, what your ethnicity is, what your ancestry is, where you're from, whether you're all these things, whether you're a natural-born citizen or an immigrant, it doesn't matter. Christ is all and is in all. Everyone has the opportunity to come to Christ. Everyone has the opportunity to take off the old self and put on the new self, created in the image of Christ, our Savior. Amen? Our new self, which is being renewed in the image of Christ. Verse 12, I want to finish this passage and then go back and just say a few words here. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. You know, the first part of the passage, he's saying these are the things we need to take off. All these things in our life, the old self, and all the practices that come with it. Now we need to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on or clothe yourselves with love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I love the phrase when he says, bear with one another. Y'all know what that means. Y'all know what that means? It means put up with one another. I can see some of you are looking to your wife, or you're looking to your husband, yeah, put up, yeah. Put up with one another. That means this, y'all. None of us are perfect. None of us. Not a one. Every one of us has something wrong. In fact, Paul says it in Romans 3:23. What does he say? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There ain't a one of us that's perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things wrong every once in a while. That's why Paul puts this in here. That's why God allowed this to be put in His Word. Bear with one another. Put up with one another. Why? Because we're human. We're human. Forgive one another. Forgive whatever grievances we may have with one another. You know, you said something that made me upset, but that's okay. You're still my brother. You're still my sister. I forgive you. Do you forgive me? Forgive one another. Forgive one another. Bear with one another. Put on all these virtues, most of all, love. Now here's what I want to go back and say. Number one, well, actually, I want to say this kind of in summary. Basically, the title this morning I want to say is we need to put on Christ. We need to make that first decision to come to Christ and put off, take off the old sinful nature and put on the new nature, which is Jesus Christ. The nature we have in Christ. We're putting on Christ. So that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. Clothing ourselves with Christ. What all does that mean? Number one, it means we do exactly what Paul describes here in this passage. We put on the new nature. Okay? What do we do with the old nature? We put it to death. We lay it to rest. We bury it. It's dead. And again, I want to go back and emphasize this. When a loved one dies, we don't keep the physical body around. We either bury it or we do something else, but we don't keep it around. It's just the physical body. And I want to say this as a word of encouragement. We need to realize this. I learned this as a little child when my grandfather died because I didn't understand it all. And I remember my mom explaining to me when my grandfather died, and I'm looking at him in the casket, and I'm like, that doesn't look like my grandfather. And my mom says, it's not. Your grandfather is not there. Your grandfather's with the Lord. That's just the physical body. And it was like a light bulb went off. Man, I was a little 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid. My mom was explaining it to me. And that's what I learned. It's just a physical body. We get rid of it. The person that we love, that's not the person that we knew on earth is with the Lord in heaven. And we'll be there too someday. Amen? Get rid of the old sinful nature. Bury it. Lay it to rest. Get rid of it. It's dead. You don't want to keep it around. It's dead. Get rid of it. Put on the new nature. In Romans 6:11, it says this, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We take off the old nature. When we come to faith in Christ, we take off that old nature, we bury it. That's what baptism symbolizes. We're buried with Christ, just as Christ was crucified and buried, put in the tomb. That old sinful nature, we bury it with Christ. And what happens? What does baptism symbolize? We're raised to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Second thing I want us to get out of this passage this morning is this. Go to the next slide there. Next few points here. Number two, when we take off the old sinful nature and we put on the new nature in Christ, we clothe ourselves with Christ, we clothe ourselves with a new morality. And here's, you know, he listed the things that we need to get rid of and then the things that we need to clothe ourselves with. Those things he mentioned, kindness, compassion, forgiveness, mostly love, humility. I think we could also put, it does list patience there. And that's always a big one, isn't it? Patience. Lord, give me patience. We need to clothe ourselves with those things. Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to look at that just briefly, Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, it says this. Let me find it here. 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Here's Paul again. And isn't it interesting how Paul is consistent? The Word of God is consistent. Okay? And so this idea of putting off the old self and putting on the new self in Christ is not something new. It's not just one place in the Scripture. It's in a bunch of different places. And this is one example. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, bury it, which is being corrupted by all its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and wholeness. Remember when God chose Israel. When God chose Abraham. He didn't choose Abraham because of anything Abraham had really done. He chose Abraham. Why? Because Abraham had faith. He believed. And it says God credited it to Abraham as righteousness. He believed in, he trusted in God. And God credited to him as righteousness. When God chose Israel to be his people, he commanded them, be holy as I am holy. You are to be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests in front of the world. And that word holy, what does that mean? Holy means to be separated. It means to be something different. God commanded his people, you are to be different from the other nations in the world because you're mine. You're to be different. You're to be holy, separated from the world, unlike the world. Just as God is holy, God is unlike anything else. Amen? He is a holy God. That's what it means. He is unlike anything else. He is totally the opposite of sin. And we are to have that same characteristic, that same morality in our lives when we come to Christ. We put off the old self with all its practices, and we put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of Christ, true righteousness, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen? A new nature, a new morality, and the last one I want to share with you this morning is this. Oh, this one other, I'm sorry, one other verse in Galatians. Go back to that in Galatians. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes. You've put away the old self. You've been raised to put on Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ and that new nature, that new morality. All right, go to the last one here. Number 3. A new worship. A new worship. Let peace rule. Go ahead and click on down here, the points here. Let peace rule, give thanks, live in and teach the word, sing. We need to sing. Amen? We need to sing. We need to give glory to God. That's what true worship is. It is giving glory to God, praising God. But I want to go up to that first point there. Let peace rule. And I want to go back to what Paul said here in Colossians that I read earlier. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. And forgive whatever grievances you may have with one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Jesus once, more than once, taught in his teachings, in his word, more than once Jesus said, you know what? Before, and part of worship is coming before and giving thanks. We give offerings, don't we? We give our offerings. That's a part of worship. We pray. That's a part of worship. We sing. That's a part of worship. We give glory to God. Jesus more than once said, you know what? Before you go and do those things, what are you supposed to do? Before you come to the altar and leave an offering, Jesus would say, go back and make things right with your brother. Before you come and pray before the altar, go and make things right with that individual who has something against you. And the idea was, when Jesus said that, was let peace rule. Let there be peace, let there be love, let there be forgiveness between one another. Jesus even said it about forgiveness. Before you ask forgiveness from God, you need to go and ask forgiveness of your brother. And you need to forgive him. How many times should I forgive my brothers? Seven times? No, seven times seven. And that wasn't to mean 49 times and that's it. It was meant unlimited. Unlimited. Before you come and worship and give your offering and pray and sing and all that, make things right between your brother. Go and ask forgiveness. Go and give forgiveness if you need to give forgiveness. Then, Jesus said, you come back and you worship. Isn't that interesting? That really this new worship begins when we start loving one another and making things right between one another. And then we come and we worship, we pray, we give thanks, we sing, we live in, we teach the word. Amen? A new worship. Clothe yourselves with Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word teaches us what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What it really means to have that new nature in Christ. Lord, help us to clothe ourselves with Christ. To put away the old nature, bury it, and put on our Christ-like nature. Then we can truly worship you. Forgive us where we've fallen short, Lord. We all have. Forgive us. Help us to love one another, forgive one another, and truly worship and be a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that I pray. And all God's people said, amen.